Welcome to the Nova Churches podcast. We are a vibrant, dynamic, multicultural church in Alexandria, Virginia. Join us at 11 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, go to www.thenovachurch.com. We're excited to share this week's message with you. God bless.
I turned it off instead of on. Let's see. See, that's the bad part about being a sound guy. Check, check. Hey, one. No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm seeing it, but it ain't going anywhere. Oh, well. Never mind. We'll just use this. How many's glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? It is great to be in the house of God. It's good to see all of you folks and be a part of what God is doing at Nova Church. Excited about the opportunities the Lord has given me over the course of the years to travel the globe and preach the gospel. I was in Madagascar just a couple of months ago, and in the space of 2 weeks, we had 1,750 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we saw a number of miracles take place. There was people who got up out of wheelchairs. There's all kinds of stuff that took place. It was phenomenal to watch what God was doing. And so I'm excited about that. I want us to take just a moment right now, and before we go into the word of the Lord, I want us to lift our hands, our voices to Him. And from the deepest part within you, I want you just to give Him glory and honor and praise His name right now. Lamb of God, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we glorify you. We magnify you, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. That's it. Lift your voice to Him right now. Lift your voice to the Lord right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. There is none like you, O God, in all of the earth. You are holy, Lord. You are righteous, O God. We exalt you and we magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you. Keep us in your prayer. I will be traveling to Indonesia in February to teach some seminars on the oneness, apostolic doctrine, baptism in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I grew up as a missionary's kid there, so it's like I'm going home. Hallelujah. Unless you've been an MK and lived in a foreign country and grew up there. I was 3 when I got there, 17 when I left. And, yeah, I'm going home, y'all. I love the USA. It's the greatest country on earth, but I'm going home. So get me some good Indonesian food. This stuff here they call Asian. God bless y'all. I love every one of them, but no. No. You ask them over there for General So's and they look at you like a who? You ask them for some good nasi goreng, which is fried rice. Oh, yeah. How do you want that? Yeah. Never mind. I have digressed onto food. And, well, I love food, but anyway. Sure everybody in here does too. If you don't, well, never mind. We had a saying over there when people, their traffic over there is excessively erratic. It'll be a 2-lane road and they'll have 7 lanes in it. And just we figured out what the definition of a split second was. If you're sitting in a traffic light, from the time it turns green until the fellow behind you honks his horn, that is the definition of a split second. Because literally, you could be sitting there and starting to move before the light turns green, and it's like literally the light goes green, honk. And we had a saying over there, when they were driving excessively erratic, they must not like rice anymore because they eat a lot of rice. And yeah, y'all will catch that in a minute. So anyway, I am going to be honest with you right now, just straight. I had two messages that were coursing through my mind. And understanding that it's Baptism Sunday, I really wanted to preach about that. But I felt very strongly impressed to preach from Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. A message to the church in Philadelphia. And if you like titles for a message, I have titles just so I know what the thought was about, but I will give you a title for this one in just a few moments. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. It's great to see a lot of new faces. And it's been a blessing and a privilege to be able to come here over the course of the years since the establishment of the church and see the progression and the change. I believe God has a message to you as a congregation, to your pastor and his wife, and to the leadership of this church. And while I'm talking about that, I'm just going to mention this to you. You need to love your pastor. You need to love his wife. Well, I got a couple of good amens and some homies, apparently. When I turn 50... I lost a filter somewhere, and I have no... A couple of you said amen, a few of you just looked at me. So I'm going to repeat that. You need to love him, you need to love his wife, and you need to take care of them. There we go. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these sayings... These things saith he that is holy." Everybody said, "He that is holy." "He that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth." You got to love that good King's English, right? Verse 8, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." I want to go back to verse 7. I'm going to substitute a word here. "To the angel of the church in Alexandria, Virginia, write." Precious Jesus, we thank you, O God, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God, we thank you for the touch of the Spirit that is moving through this congregation and through this house. God, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to continue to rest upon us. Help us, Lord, to deliver this message to your people. God, help them to grasp and allow that seed to be planted in their lives and become fruit. Produce fruit in their lives and in this congregation. God, I pray for a special anointing upon the pastor of this congregation, Travis Worthington. I pray, O God, for a special anointing upon his wife, Amber, O God. God, I pray, Jesus, for your direction to be imparted to them. And Lord, allow them to lead this congregation in the path that you would have them travel to see the harvest of souls for this area that you have for them, Jesus. Somebody lift your hands toward heaven right now and pray in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and lift your voice and your hands toward heaven and pray in the Spirit for just a few moments. God, I pray for your strength to be upon this church. I pray for your power to be demonstrated in this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I felt the shift in the atmosphere of this facility about 3 minutes ago. You may be seated. By the help and the grace of God, I want to preach to this congregation a message to a weary church. A message to a weary church. John takes his pen in his hands and he writes to the church in Philadelphia. He makes it plain that he's writing to a church that is under siege. Philadelphia was small with little strength. Philadelphia was a good church who had seen some mighty successes, but now found herself going through a time of struggle. Philadelphia was a church that was harried and harassed by her enemies. A church that had seemingly began to believe that possibly it had seen its better days. Philadelphia was a church that had probably had larger crowds at some point in its history. A church that may have been only a shadow of what it once was. They had lost some folks through backsliding, sin, rebellion. Philadelphia was a weary church due to a battle that it had been fighting. And some of that was just because they were being the church. It's not abnormal. Every church will experience this. Every life will experience the ups and the downs. That is part of life. I can give you an example of with this lady sitting in the wheelchair just 11 months ago. She was walking and everything, while not perfect, was semi-normal. February the 28th, she lost her right foot because of some things in life. Struggle is a part of life. And the first answer to you and to the Church of Philadelphia was this: stand strong and praise God. Stand strong. Everybody said, stand strong and praise God. There's a time when in the middle of your battle, you've just got to praise Him. There's a time in the middle of your storm when you don't know what else to do or what else to say. You just lift your hands and you praise Him. You don't have any words for what's going on in your world, so you just lift your voice and you praise Him. It's not always easy. It's not always what you feel like doing, but sometimes you just got to put on that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and you lift your voice and you praise Him. So before I go too far down the path, let's remember the passage or the message to Philadelphia. It doesn't start with their beleaguered condition. No, you see, the message to the church at Philadelphia starts with a reminder of who is on their side. He writes these words, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens." You see, Philadelphia may have only had a little strength, but the one that is standing with her is the strongest of the strong and the mightiest of the mighty. Before we get around to acknowledging the fact that the church in Philadelphia is weary, let's establish the fact that God is on her side. God is on her side. Alexandria, I want you to know this today. Nova Church, it doesn't matter what battle you're facing or fighting, God is on your side. God is on your side. Philadelphia might not have been much to look at, but she was mighty through God. She may not have had a lot of members as she used to have, and the finances might not have been what they used to be. And the enemy was harassing Philadelphia on every side, and the fight might have been wearing them down, but I want you to take notice of this, that the Lord God Almighty stands with His church. God stands with His church in the face of every opposition, in the face of every trial and every battle. God is with you, and He's fighting for you. He has not forsaken Philadelphia, and He has not forsaken you. He's not abandoned the Philadelphia church. The message to the weary church starts with the acknowledgement that God is on your side. I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this place. Here's the truth about Philadelphia. Philadelphia was weary and she may have been weak, but she was undefeated. Let that just marinate in your mind for a moment. She was tired. She was weary, but she was undefeated. You see, here's why she remained undefeated. It's because they had not lost their faith in God. Some of you are going, hold on a second. Wait a minute, time out. Because you see, the natural reaction is when adversity comes our way is to try to run from it. But Philadelphia stood against it and didn't lose their faith. The question a lot of times arises, why did God allow this? And if God was so awesome and so loving, and pick whatever your favorite phrase is, then why didn't He stop this? And your faith becomes unstable. I'm letting that marinate for a minute. We think that God is going to just come and miraculously, and don't get me wrong, He can, and I've seen Him do it. But there are times when He wants you to go through the storm that you're in, and He's going to be with you all the way through the storm. It would have been easy to have lost faith when I didn't see a miracle that I had prayed for a long time. But I held on to the hand and the promise of God, and I did not lose faith. Because just because he didn't answer this prayer right here doesn't mean he don't answer prayer. Because through the history of my life with him, I've seen countless times that he's answered prayer, and he's opened doors, and he's moved things, and he's shuffled this around, and he's shuffled that around, because he wanted me to know that when you're going through a trial, that I may not answer for you right now, that I'm still with you. I have not forsaken you, and don't lose faith. Don't lose faith. Somebody shout to the Lord right now. You see, through the storm, she stood on the promises of God. And though the enemy tried to destroy her through a multitude of voices, though a multitude of voices called on her just to give up and die, the Lord says, you have kept my word and not denied my name. There's something to be said for a church that refuses to break. A church that may be tired and may be weary, that may only have a little strength, but continues to hold fast to the Word of God. Because when it's all said and done, it's this and only this that's going to get you through. The message to the weary church is that the Lord has seen your weariness. He has seen the tenacity of your faith. And he has set before you, Nova Church, Alexandria, Virginia, an open door. He has set before you as a church an open door. Now, there's a lot of debate about what that door represents. So I'm just going to enter the fray and give you three of my ideas about what that door is. Some say it represents the church itself. I agree with that. To the lost, God has given his church as a beacon of light and a ray of hope in this dark world. That in this weak and weary church that has refused to close her doors but has stood her ground and maintained her witness, God has established an open door to the kingdom of God that no man can close. Because of the testimony of their faithfulness, because they have kept their word and refused to deny the name, God has established them as an open door to the lost world around them. You see, indeed, the church is a shelter in the midst of the storms of this life. It really is. I know we come in and we're looking for perfect people, but dear mercy, the second I walked in the door, that all shattered. Listen at him over, amen. The second any of us walked through the door, that perfection just walked out. It was gone. Because for some it's too hot, for some it's too cold, for some it's too loud, for some it could be 190 decibels and it would be all right. For some it's just pick something. Perfection is an illusion, y'all. We strive. Never mind, I have digressed. But it is a place, it is a refuge, a haven of hope, a place where mercy flows, where forgiveness is found, a place where the grace of God reigns supreme. In the church, there's a place of restoration, a place of redemption, a place, an opportunity, an open door, which cannot be found anywhere else in this world. Last week, my wife and I were in Arab, Alabama. Let me explain something to you about Arab, Alabama. It is probably one of the smallest communities in Alabama. They have a church of about 250 people. And it is amazing to watch, because when they walk in, Arab, Alabama is also the drug capital of Alabama. And on any given Sunday, there's drug dealers and drug addicts and all the other addicts you want to come up with that walk through the doors of that church. And it is absolutely phenomenal, Brother Worthington, to watch all of these ex-addicts and drug addicts and drug dealers come in and come to an altar and lift their hands and talk in other tongues. One of them said, "I went from selling drugs to selling Jesus." But you see, they found a place of redemption and hope and restoration because a church was there. When the pastor that is there took it, they had about 50 people in church and didn't know if they were going to survive. But you see, they maintained their faith. And God opened the door, and no man can shut that door. And now they're running 250, 300 in Sunday school and church on Sunday morning. And they've baptized in the last 2.5 years over 700 people in the name of Jesus Christ. It is a place to where God comes. The message to a weary church may very well be that God is the one who opened the doors of your sanctuary, and no matter what comes against you, nothing in this world can shut the door that God has opened. And I will assure you from the deepest part of me that hell has tried everything it can to shut this church down and cause it to go away. But God has opened the doors of this church. And when God opens that door, nothing can stop it. Nothing can shut that door. Hell can come against you all it wants to, but the gates of hell shall never prevail against the church. The door will stay open no matter what the world does. Times change, generations come and go, but the door of the church is always open. The world may think it's found a better way. They may argue that religion is not relevant anymore. They may get puffed up in their knowledge and declare that they've become too smart for God. But there's a Bible verse that talks about that. They're ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge and an understanding of the truth. I find it interesting, all of these folks with PhDs and doctorates and this and that and something else, and they're educated and they're smart, and they're just too dumb to go look in the Bible for a lot of the answers that they need. And I will not digress right there. I could. They're talking about, never mind. See, there will always be hurting, lonely, desperate people looking for a place of refuge, and the doorway to the church will always be open. We got a lady in our congregation in Colonial Heights. She came to church. She was from another denomination, and they would openly tell her in church, and it's sad that they'd done this, but they would openly tell her in church, "Well, now listen, baby, you don't need to talk to that one over there because they do this on the weekends, and you don't need to associate with this group over here because, well, they do something else. And now this group over here is pretty good. You can talk to them." Really? I think what you've got there is more of a social club than a church. Because the church is a hospital and a place for broken, weary, wounded lives. It's a place where you come and you find redemption and salvation. It's a place where you, hallelujah. and she came to our church. She had no idea. She thought every church on the planet was like that. And she met one of our young ladies, a single mother, out working in her yard, and they were neighbors, and she comes over and starts talking to them, and they become friends, and finally our member of our church convinces them to come try us out, come check us out. The first Sunday they walk into church, it was one of them Holy Ghost throwdowns, and it was 175,000 decibels in the place, and you know, the music's cranked up, and people are shouting and running what little tiny aisles we have right now, and she was stunned. She said, and this dear sister from a church, she sits on the front row every Sunday. She's like, I ain't got time to see what the rest of the congregation is doing. And so she brought her guest, and they're sitting on the front row with the whole world blowing up around them. There's no escape. And she told me the other day, she said, I never felt more loved in my life than when I walked into the sanctuary, and people started greeting me at the door, following me around like a little puppy dog, making sure I was taken care of and had everything I needed. But then when people begin to lift their hands and they begin to praise God, and she said, I felt something I had never felt in my life. And nobody was telling me, well, you don't need to talk to this one over here, and you don't need to talk to that one over there, because, and she said, then something amazing happened. I can't remember if it was that Sunday or then two or three later, but she got the Holy Ghost, and her daughter's been filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, that's what the church is all about. Because there's hurting, lonely, desperate people looking for a place of refuge. That's enough to shout about in and of itself. We got to tell the prodigal the door to the Father's house will never be closed. Go tell the lost that a way has been found. This open door is a powerful door that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. It's an effective door. This gospel still works. There's no power in hell that is greater than this gospel. There's no sin it can't overcome. There's no bondage that it cannot break. There is no enemy that it cannot conquer. There is no devil in the world that can stop the church. It may be weary. You may be a little worse for the wear, but this door is a door that was opened by God, and nothing in this world can shut it. The second door is a door of revival. There are others that say that that's what the door is. And indeed, God has promised revival to you, His church. 2 Chronicles 7:14-16, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Everybody said, and pray. And seek my face. Let me tell you something right here. If you ever expect to see a tremendous move of God in your midst, it starts with you humbling yourself before God and praying. Well, there's a few good amens and hallelujah. We want instant revival. We want it on a microwave and don't want to have to do much to get it. But let me tell you something. Revival is not cheap and it is not easy. It takes consistent prayer. There's a group of 10 of us we'll be meeting tonight that have started prayer group at home church. We meet every couple of weeks. And we pray on Sunday nights, and out of that prayer meeting, we have begun to see, began, whatever the appropriate English word is right there, we have began to experience people getting the Holy Ghost, backsliders coming to church, miracles take place. And it starts with prayer and seeking His face. And then He goes on to say, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, this is God's pardon, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name be there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. You see, I have chosen this house, God said. I have sanctified this house. I have my name over it, and my name will be there forever and ever. He's not talking about the four walls that you're in right now. I do believe that there is an open door of revival for Nova Church. I do believe that God is already pouring that out upon you. I do believe that people are coming to your congregation, families, children, neighbors, and friends. They're going to come through that open door into your presence, and they're going to come down to an altar of repentance, and God is going to fill them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There will be strangers driving down the street, and they're going to feel compelled to come and see what's happening inside because of the power of the Holy Ghost that is moving in your place. Revival is not just coming. I've gotten tired of hearing that. Revival is here. It's now. This message to the weary church is this: you need to just hang on, because God is coming to you and He is with you right now. You keep the door open, because there is a lost world that's starting to walk through that door. It's happening now. We've preached for years. I've been hearing it since I was 0 years of age. I'm almost 51. I'm what? 20 days or so, I'll be 51. I've been hearing it for 51 years about the end time and Jesus coming. And let me tell you something. There was times I didn't think as a kid, I'll ever see. I'll ever get married. I'll never have kids of my own. Here I am. I've got two boys and a wife, and God is doing things. But I want to share something with you. I firmly believe that we are absolutely in the last days. I'm not going to get off into all the prophetics of that right now, but you need to understand that we are living in the last days. And there is a revival that is being poured out. It's going to happen, because you will catch a burden, and people will walk through these doors who will love this church, who will support this church, who will give their lives for this church, because this church is the best thing that they've ever found in this world. You'll have Bible study teachers born. You'll start bus ministries. Well, a couple amens. I think we need to work on some faith over on this side of the crowd over here. Oof, y'all are tough. It's a good thing I'm not a comedian up here. It would be a tough crowd, y'all. Maybe that's what the purpose of this message was, is to remind you that in your weariness, in your tiredness, when it doesn't look like anything is happening, what you don't see is God doing things in the background. And while it's a simple thing, I want to share an example with you. Many moons ago, I was traveling across Pennsylvania, hit a patch of ice, ended up in a ditch in the middle of a snowstorm. It cost me $50 to get my car towed out of the ditch. But in that process, I was able to witness to a man who took me to the next exit to find a tow truck. And I was able to expound the gospel to him. And you know, I was bumming, because I had to spend $50 to get pulled out of the ditch. But I get home, and there's a $50 check in my mailbox from my parents, who were Amers in Mauritius, and they had mailed it 2 weeks prior to this event. I'm just saying. So while I was mully grubbing about having to spend $50 to get pulled out of a ditch, God had opened a door so I could witness to a feller who needed him. And he had already made the provision for the $50. And right now you may be just a few in number, may not have as many resources as you'd like, but never count the church out, because God has opened the door and nothing in this world can close it. And then some say, and this is my final point today, that the door represents a door of power, a place where the sick are healed, the lost are saved, those who are bound set free through the power of the Holy Ghost. The hurting find healing. The lonely find a friend. You see, I believe, and I have felt in the Holy Ghost, that God is going to settle upon you as a congregation, Nova, with the power that will be, that with a the power of God will be loosed upon you to work like you have never seen it work in your existence. I still need to work on some of y'all's faith. I'm going to take you to Madagascar for a minute. I was going to move on, but I'm going to jump ship for a second. It is incredible to watch 1750 receive the Holy Ghost in a week, okay? It's just absolutely straight up amazing. Y'all pardon me while I find out what that is. It is nothing introducing itself into the PA. So it's elsewhere. We'll find it. But you see, when you watch that, I preach in a place called Majunga. I fought more hell those 2 weeks than I ever have on a trip. Physically, I got sick. I had some stupid sinus infection. I almost passed out while we were in Majunga. I have no idea what that was about. Sunday morning, I walk to the pulpit to preach, and I'm as weak as all get out. And I'm standing there, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, you've got to help me. I get to the pulpit to preach, and the anointing of God moves upon me. I felt strength while I was preaching. 13 people received the gift of the Holy Ghost. There was about 13 or 14 that were healed. I'm telling you, church, God is going to pour out His Spirit and His power upon you, and it will be on an unprecedented scale for you as a congregation. The anointing is going to flow out of you, this house, like a rushing mighty river that the prophet Ezekiel saw in a vision. It'll flow through your communities, into the homes of our neighbors, through your businesses, through City Hall. Like a mighty river, there is a spiritual awakening that is taking place right now. And nothing will ever be the same again. I challenge you as a congregation, don't ever allow any or a service to just be an ordinary service. No more normal Sundays. No more business as usual. The power of God will be loosed in this house. And every service, you're going to see a demonstration of the power and the anointing of God upon you. Every time the people of God came together, God is going to show up and He's going to show out. You're going to see miracles happen in this place. Signs and wonders will follow the preaching of His Word, not because of anything that I do or anything that you do, but because of the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. It's going to happen because you have chosen as a congregation. I am going to humble myself before him at an altar of prayer. I'm going to repent of what's within me. I'm hungry for a move of God. I'm hungry for more than just ordinary church. I'm tired of preaching about people being healed and nothing happened. I'm tired of going to church and seeing the people there that need God and nothing happened. God, I need to see the demonstration of your power. Somebody throw your hands up toward heaven and give him a shout of praise right now. Shout unto God. You see, God has promised his church signs and wonders. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. How many believers do we have in this house right now? How many believers do we have in this house? If you're a believer in this house, would you shout unto God? You see, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. Hey! Okay, Elamahoshatahaya. Elamahoshokurahaya. Elamahoshatahaya. Elamahoshakaya. Somebody go ahead and just shout. Shout unto God. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with other tongues. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It's by his power and it's by his Spirit. The only thing that I can do in this is pray and seek his face and be hungry for a demonstration of that power. And while I may be weak and I may be weary, I want you to know that God has more power, more than enough power to move mountains and cause the kingdom of hell to tremble and crumble. Might as well go ahead and blow the trumpet in Zion and let it be known far and wide that the year of deliverance has come to you. The year of the Lord is upon you. This is a door that only God can open, and he is opening that door right now in the midst of Nova Church. Be ready because deliverance is coming to your house. Be ready because healing is coming to your house. Be ready because broken homes are being put back together again. Be ready because years of spiritual bondage and depression are taking away, are being taken away right now. Be ready. Be ready. God is about to move upon the kingdoms of darkness of your area, and he's shaking it with everything that he can. pastor shared something with me before church, and I'm not going to delve off into what it was, but I'm going to say this to you. You need to be ready for an unprecedented outpouring and move of the Holy Ghost like you have never seen before. Hell has come against you, and it's fought you with everything it can, but let me remind you, if you pray and you seek His face and you turn from your wicked ways, there is no devil in hell. There is no power in hell. There is nothing in hell that can stop you as a church, because there is power in prayer. There is power in prayer. There is power in prayer. There is an anointing that comes through prayer. There is an anointing that comes through prayer. And while you may be weary and you may be worn and you may be tired, there is strength in the Holy Ghost. There is strength in the Holy Ghost that's settling upon you as a congregation. Go ahead and receive that anointing right now. I still got 4 or 5 pages of notes, but I'm done. This altar is open right now. You need to step out from where you are and receive it. You need to receive this word right now. You need to pray in the Holy Ghost like you've never prayed before. God is opening doors for you, and nothing's going to stop them. Somebody needs to pray in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and receive the power and the anointing of the Spirit. You may be weary, you're tired, but His strength is enough for you. You're weary. You're worn, but God said, I've got an anointing for you. I'm pouring out my Spirit upon you Just keep the faith. Don't waver. Keep preaching the truth. Keep walking in righteousness. Keep trusting in me. Keep believing. Keep believing. Because I open the door. Nobody can shut that door. Nothing can stand in your way. Absolutely nothing. Jesus. Jesus. Pour out your spirit, oh God. Pour out your spirit in this place right now. Upon every life in this room, Jesus. Jesus. By the power, the authority of your word, we take dominion over every spirit and power of hell that has come against this church. I bind those powers of hell. And I loose the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost upon them. Every force of darkness, every spirit of hell that has come against this church must return to hell from which it came. Never to bother them again. In the name of Jesus Christ. That's it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. That's it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit right now. Pray in the Spirit.